Hello, this is Christian Okoye, former Kansas City Chiefs. You are listening to Grilling Truth.
Welcome, everybody, to our first ever USFL Legends show. As you know, we normally do NFL Legends, CFL Legends, so we figured we'd branch out. We've got some former USFL players lined up over the next few weeks for you guys. As always, I'm your host, Mike Goodpaster, and I want to welcome in our first guest for the USFL Legends show. Played for the Michigan Panthers, Oakland, and Baders. Help me welcome to the show former wide receiver Derek Holloway.
Hello, how you doing?
All right, thanks for coming on, Derek.
It's great to be here, Mike. Great to be here.
All right, let's just go from the beginning. At what age did you start playing football, and who were some of your early influences?
I started playing football probably when I was about 10 years old. And my early influence was my coach named Osa Meekins. He's passed away, you know, since then. But he was one of my early influences playing. It was called Little Pal Football, and that was in Palmyra, New Jersey. So I started when I was about 10 years old.
All right. And then I know you had a great high school career. You want to tell us a little bit about that and what led you to the University of Arkansas?
Yeah, played at Palmyra High School and broke the South Jersey scoring record, which hadn't been broken in 27 years my senior year. I scored 31 touchdowns and I think one extra point for 188 points. Also led the state of New Jersey in scoring that year in 1978. My team won the South Jersey football championship also that year and got opportunity to play in the first all-state New Jersey North-South game, is the first touchdown in that also. I had my last high school game, I had 334 yards rushing from scrimmage in that last game, in that championship game. So I had a really, I guess, a stellar high school career.
Yeah, I saw the numbers, and they were amazing, the numbers you put up, especially your senior year.
Yeah, it was a great year. We had a great team. They have my high school that I went to, they have a South Jersey championship hasn't been won since we won it, and that was 37 years ago. And actually, I'm going back to New Jersey on Sunday, and I'm getting inducted into the South Jersey Football Hall of Fame. So that's culminating with everything also.
All right. So what led you to University of Arkansas from New Jersey?
Well, when I came out of college, I wanted to go to a school. I wanted to go away to college, and I didn't actually have that many scholarships. I had some track scholarships because I did run track also. So down between the University of Pittsburgh and Arkansas, I had actually written Arkansas. They weren't actively recruiting me way up in New Jersey. But I did send them some film, and they took a look at the film. And then they invited me down for a visit, so me and my mom went down for a visit, and they liked what they saw, and they offered me a scholarship, and I took it. So that's how I ended up down at Arkansas.
All right, now, Arkansas, when you got there, had a legendary coach, Lou Holtz. What was your relationship with Coach Holtz, and what was it like to play for him?
Coach Holtz, my freshman, sophomore, and junior year, he was kind of scary to be around. You know, he walked the halls and, you know, he definitely don't want you late for his meetings. And he was kind of scary. But my senior year, I actually, you know, sat down in his office a few times, you know, talked to him, you know, about some different things. So he kind of loosened up. But it wasn't until my senior year, really, where I started to really talk to him off the field as far as him just being my coach. And I actually switched me when I went to Arkansas. You know, I was obviously a running back in high school, and they switched me to wide receiver. And I really wasn't too happy about that because I really didn't know nothing about playing wide receiver. And between me and you, and I guess obviously whoever's listening, I almost left Arkansas. I didn't really tell too many people, but I wasn't happy because, like I said, they switched my position. But I ended up staying and working on my hands and working on my routes. And after probably like my sophomore year, I decided I was going to go ahead and stay.
All right, so how big of an adjustment was it for you to go from running back to wide receiver?
It was a big adjustment. You know, I didn't catch really too many passes in high school. I was used to, you know, lining up in the backfield, you know, on a quick toss or a handoff. And now they have me splitting out wide running down the field 25, 30 yards, running a route and catching the ball that the quarterback's throwing that's coming in kind of fast. So it was a big adjustment, just learning that hand eye coordination, you know, from going from running back to wide receiver and running the routes also. You know, running them at the right depth, running them, you know, just completely. It was a completely different position for me, so.
Now, you were on some great teams there. I know they had Gary Anderson, who was a great NFL running back. Let's talk a little bit about the 1981 Gator Bowl, the Fog Bowl against North Carolina. What do you remember about that game?
Other than it was kind of foggy. Yeah, it was really, really bad. I think they even had to bring the cameras from the top of the stadium where they usually have them down, I guess, toward the field. It was really foggy. You know, we played North Carolina, and some people say, I guess, I was the only one to see the ball. I forget what my stats were. You probably have them now. I think it was 4 catches or 3 catches for 181 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, I know you had one of your bigger games in that game.
Yeah, but I don't know. I just concentrated on the ball, and I don't know whether they're DBs or whether anyone else could see the ball, but I guess I could see it. I don't know what was going on, but it was real foggy. It was real foggy that night.
All right, so you get done, your playing career at Arkansas is over. What led you to the United States Football League?
What led me to the United States Football League was that I didn't think, and, you know, I had obviously hired an agent after the season was over, and I didn't think that I was going to be drafted into the NFL. So this, you know, the USFL came along, it's a new league, and I probably would have been a free agent in the NFL, which wouldn't have been a problem. But I decided, you know what, why not? You know, why not go try it, see what's going on? If things don't work out, I can, you know, still have an opportunity to go try for an NFL team. So that's what I did. You know, the USFL came along. I was drafted into the USFL by the Michigan Panthers and ended up going to training camp. And from there, you know the story from there.
Yeah, so what was that first training camp like? From what I read, it was at Daytona Beach. I mean, was it organized? I mean, what kind of experience was that first training camp?
It was a wild time. It was we didn't have a lot of the players didn't have equipment. It was a lot of people there. It was a lot of players there. I guess they brought in a lot of free agents. But, you know, luckily, you know, in any kind of camp, you know, when you're drafted, you know, you kind of get your equipment and everything because you're drafted and, they want you there, obviously. But, you know, the free agents that came to try out. So it was a lot of people there. It was a lot of things going on. Camp was hectic, you know, practicing 2 times a day and then, you know, trying to get your reps in and trying to be seen by the coaches and everything. But I obviously did whatever it took to get seen because, you know, I ended up making the team and, you know, traveling up to Michigan to play in that first USFL game.
All right. And your head coach at the time was Jim Stanley. You want to talk a little bit about your relationship with Coach Stanley?
Yeah, Coach Stanley was I believe he was a great coach. Obviously, by winning the first United States Football League championship, I know he came from Oklahoma State. Coach Stanley was a player's coach. You know, what a player's coach is, he really related to the players. He would come out on the field and laugh and joke with us. You know, he wasn't that stern type of head coach where, you know, you like Coach Holtz, you know, we was kind of scared to talk to him and kind of scared to interact with him in any kind of way. Coach Stanley was a good coach. He had some good coaches around him, and actually he came to my after we won the championship the first year. He actually came to a parade that they threw for me in Palmyra. Me and him rode in the back of the car, and they threw a big parade for me in Palmyra after winning that championship game. So that was nice of him, as the head coach, to actually come to an event like that.
And you guys had some great players on that team in 83. You probably could have played with at least some teams in the NFL. You want to talk about the guys on that team, guys like Anthony Carter, Bobby Hebert?
Yeah, no problem. We had quite a few guys that actually went on to play in the NFL. Once again, like Anthony Carter, Bobby Hebert, myself, then there was John Williams. I think he played for Seattle for a little bit. Ken Lacy. You know, the story with Ken Lacy, he'd actually signed before the season was over, I believe, to play with Kansas City. then we actually had some players that were in the NFL before the league started that went back to the NFL. Just about a whole offensive line was from Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Ray Penny. I know you guys signed a couple Pittsburgh Steelers offensive linemen.
Yeah, Tom Dornbrook. We also had Tyrone McGriff. And then Wayne Ratliff, I think he played for Atlanta after that, after the USFL. I'm trying to think of any other defensive players. But, you know, it was probably about five or six guys from our team that went on to play in the NFL.
Yeah, and that first year you guys started off 1-4, 1-5, and then turned it around with Hebert at quarterback. You guys signed a couple of the Steelers' offensive linemen to shore up your offensive line. What was that season like in the atmosphere in Michigan? I mean, was it what you would consider an NFL atmosphere?
Yes, it was. It was great. You know, we Michigan put out a great product on the field, and you know, with the owner Alfred Taubman, he was a great owner. He's passed away, I guess, a few years ago. But they put a great product out on the field, and you know, we were 1-4. But like you said, we went and got some offensive linemen from the Steelers, and we turned that season around, and, you know, it was a great atmosphere. The Lions weren't winning. I don't think the Pistons had won anything by then. The Tigers hadn't won anything. And I think when we won that championship, I don't know how many years before professional sports
team
in Detroit had won.
Yeah, I think 1968, when Detroit beat St. Louis in the World Series, was the last time a Detroit team had won a professional championship.
Yeah. And they loved us. I mean, they got the chance to get to know us. I think, you know, the first few games, it might have been like 20,000, 18,000 people there. Then as we started winning, we started turning the season around. That last playoff game, you know, we had 60,000 people, you know, at a game. And I think that was probably more than the Lions would get at their games. You know, so they were excited. You know, they had finally had a team going to the championship. And It was a great time up in Michigan. I had a really, really great time.
All right, so that takes us to the 1983, the first USFL championship game against the Philadelphia Stars. I believe it was played at Mile High Stadium. There was a really good crowd there. I know Denver drew pretty well with the Denver Gold. What do you remember about that game?
A lot of things. It was obviously the first USFL championship game, and I had a lot of friends that played for Philadelphia because I'm from New Jersey originally. And the Stars that beat us earlier in that year in Philly, and they wanted to play us, and we wanted to play them because I believe the two best teams played in that championship game that year. So it was us in Philadelphia, and I remember being a little nervous at the beginning of the game, but those nerves eventually went away, and we settled down. And, you know, I ended up scoring the first two touchdowns in the first USFL championship game, which was great. And,
what was it like to finally win that championship?
It was great. You know, my mom was there. It was pandemonium in the locker room. You know, everyone was happy, you know.
And then you get to the 1984 season. You guys started off hot. Anthony Carter goes down, I think, with a broken arm halfway through the season. You want to talk about that year a little bit?
Yeah, we started off hot, and then Anthony got hurt, and we had some other injuries. I think it was a Bentley or Corker or even some of our defensive guys that got hurt too. But we started off the year hot. It was a tough year, but, you know, we actually made it to the playoffs. We had an opportunity to go back to the championship game again. A lot of people don't know this, but, you know, we played the longest game in professional football history when we played
the triple overtime game at the Coliseum against the LA Express.
Yeah, against Steve Young and them. So we had an opportunity to win that game a few times, but we just didn't get it done. And I think we played a game in three quarters until someone won that game. So, you know, even though we started out hot and we fizzled a little bit in the middle, we came on a little strong at the end. We still had an opportunity to, you know, go play in that second USFL championship game. I think it was held in Arizona. So,
yeah.
Like I said, we just didn't get it done. The 84 season was a good season. I mean, I ended up with, I believe, 62 catches or so, 13 touchdowns, somewhere around in there. So once that happened, once Anthony went down, you know, I kind of took on the bulk of the receivers as far as the catches and the receiving yards.
Now, we talk about that playoff game in L.A. I think there was probably only 8,000 to 10,000 people in a 90,000-seat stadium. I mean, at the end of the 84 season, did you think the league was still solvent and a viable product?
Yes, I did. I mean, even though, I guess L.A. didn't support, you know, their team like so many other cities supported their teams. But, yes, I did. I think the USFL made a good choice and a good move when they realigned the league. They put, you know, they obviously put Oakland and Michigan together, and we moved to Oakland. Now, at that time, the Raiders had moved to L.A., so Oakland didn't have a team.
They what were your thoughts on the move to Oakland when you heard about it?
It was mixed because I didn't really understand what they were trying to do at the time, and I didn't understand why Oakland couldn't come up to Michigan since we had already won the championship before. But they obviously had their reasons for realigning the league like that. It was, like I said, it was mixed emotions, and even going into training camp, you know, I ended up not starting. You know, Gordon Banks started, but we played with three wide receivers probably 85 to 90% of the time. So I was on the field just as much as anyone else. So after, you know, we got the offense together, and Fred Biletnikoff was the wide receiver coach, and then Charlie Sumner was the head coach, and we moved out there, went through training camp. You know, we meshed, we got things together. You know, we were poised for another run at that championship, and we got back to the championship game, but didn't end up getting that done either.
Yeah, and it was a great game. You guys faced the Stars again, who were in the championship game all 3 years, won two of them, including the last two. Lost 28-24. I think that was at the New Jersey Meadowlands. You want to talk a little bit about your experiences in that championship game?
Yeah, it was a nice experience. It was going home for me. You know, by mom and people had organized a bus to go up from South Jersey up to the Meadowlands. It's only about an hour and a half. So I had a lot of people at the game. You know, I think it had rained a little bit, but it cleared out, and it was a good game. I think we should have won that game. We ended up getting that penalty in the end zone really late in the game. We were getting ready to score, and we ended up getting I believe it was an unnecessary roughness penalty in the end zone, which took us back 15 yards. And then we only had, I think, two more plays to get it in. They dropped back and just played zone because we were, like, first and goal, I believe, or second and goal on the 3-yard line, if I remember correctly. So it was a good game. Coulda, shoulda, woulda, but we didn't get it done late in the game, and we ended up losing that game. But it was great to play in that championship game, so I had the opportunity, you know, to play in two of the three championship games anyway.
Now, when did it become obvious there was going to be no USFL in 1986? I mean, was it obvious by that championship game, or was it a little bit later on?
Probably a little bit later on, because, you know, you start hearing rumors that we were going to sue the NFL, and we were going to move the league to the fall. And actually, I had went to I guess they decided already to get rid of the Oakland team because I was picked up by Arizona. Arizona had my rights. And I actually went to they had a mini camp. So I actually went to mini camp right after the U.S. – almost near the USFL season ending up in 85 with the mini camp. But, you know, soon after that, they announced that the league was folding and we're going to be free agents. And then that's when I got the call from Bobby Beathard. He actually called me in New Jersey and said he wanted me to come play for the Redskins. So that's how I ended up with the Redskins.
So what was your NFL experience like over the next several years?
It was okay, you know. It was almost like, even though I wasn't technically a rookie, it was almost like coming in as a rookie. I mean, it's a whole new atmosphere. It's a whole new offense. It's a whole new, all new teammates. I know Ricky Sanders and Clarence Renan a little bit because they played in USFL. I knew Doug, just from the USFL. But then, you know, there was a few guys that I knew, you know, beforehand. But once again, it was like coming in as a rookie. We went to training camp and. You know, made the team. I was on the roster the whole 86 season, and then all of training camp in 87, and then in 87 I got picked up by Tampa Bay. So I was with Tampa Bay the 87, part of the 87 season. And then when the strike came, Tampa Bay released me, and I actually got picked up by the Colts. And the Colts wanted me to play during the strike, and I didn't want to play during the strike. So once the strike was over, I got released by the Colts.
Yeah. And then I know you went on to play in the Arena Football League for the Detroit Drive, which I know the Drive were really popular in Detroit in the early 90s and had a great football team.
Yeah, they had won a few championships, I think, before we even won it in 99. I don't know how many they had won, but, yeah, they had a great team up there. I also played in the World League, too. I played for Sacramento.
Where did you play in the World League?
I played for the Sacramento Surge.
Okay, what was that experience like?
It was, once again, different. I came in during the season, though. Mike Keller, which was general manager of the Michigan Panthers the first year. That's how that was my contact through the Sacramento Surge, and he got me there. It was pretty good. You know, got a chance to go overseas and play. We played Germany overseas, so we spent a week over there. Then I actually played in the CFL for like a half a season. I played for Calgary Stampeders. I played up there for half a season too.
All right, so what do you do nowadays?
I live in Houston now. I'm in sales and advertising, and I've been here about, my daughter's going to be 13. I've been here about 11 years now.
Yeah. Well, you got a 13-year-old daughter. That always started having a sale. I had a teenage daughter. She's 23 now.
Okay, yeah.
Nothing tougher than a teenage daughter, Derek.
Yeah, I know. Well, she's the youngest. I have three other two. I have two girls and two boys. My oldest.
Well, you're already prepared then. You know what you're in for.
Yeah. My oldest is 30. My son's going to be 28 tomorrow, actually. Then I have another son. He's 13, and then my daughter's going to be 13 coming up. Actually, he's 14.
Yeah. All right. Well, Derek, hey, thanks for joining the show today, being the first guy or first player on our USFL Legend Show. It was an absolute honor to have you on the show.
It was an absolute honor to be here and to be seen and to be heard. And I appreciate you me be the first USFL player to appear on your show.
Well, we also, during the season, we do an NFL Pick'em show with a couple former NFL players. If you ever want to come on and pick the game some week, keep in touch, and maybe we'll have you on.
Okay, just call this number here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'll get a hold of you anyways on Facebook. I got your phone number from you calling in, so
okay.
We'll stay in touch and see where else we can fit you in.
No problem. Thanks a lot, Mike. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, Derek. Remember, guys,
okay,
you can catch all the Grueling Truth shows at thegruelingtruth.net. You can catch us on iHeart, iTunes, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, everywhere there's any podcasts available. You'll find the Grueling Truth Network. Next week on our NFL Legend Show, we'll have former Cincinnati Bengals legendary linebacker Reggie Williams, who will be on the show. Also, over the next few weeks, we will have Dave Craig on the show, Carl Mecklenburg. We just got to finalize the days and the times. So make sure you check out Gridiron Mo, who is our main sponsor at www.gridironmo.com. So for Derek Holloway, I'm Mike Goodpaster. You've been listening to The Grueling Truth, where the legends speak.
Just hang up.